The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're doing it. Tell me what you like.
I like the urinals that go all the way to the floor. I'd like to have one of those in my house if I ever have a house. Not even that. Just I think it's the security of like, oh, I don't have to aim it anywhere. Like, this is a slam dunk regardless.
I turned you way up to talk about long urinals. All right. I guess that's what happens when we don't do a vocal check.
Yeah.
Now we're there.
But that's how I would spend my disposable income if I ever had any.
Along your floor-to-ceiling?
Yeah, floor-to-ceiling urinal. Floor-to-ceiling urinal, in case I want to aim it up high.
Waterfall you piss into. Well, I get that. Like, that was like grade school. They have the ones that would go off. Look, you got a little kid. You got kids of developing ages. You know, you get going. But this, the Roosevelt Hotel, they're like, I'm 5'8". With self-esteem, 5'7½" legally. But I, like, that hotel, like, I was, like, I had to lean back a little bit to make sure it got in
there. Yeah.
It was right there. Like, anybody shorter than me, I was like, what? Like, it was like, in my head, I'm sure it was just a design flaw, but in my head, I'm like, what a fucking Hollywood move. Like, overpriced drinks and then tall urinals to make sure they weed out undesirables. Like, in my head, like, that's the paranoia part. Like, they make the urinals too tall so they don't have short people hanging out at their cool, hip fucking place.
Howard
that's a
sinks.
Conspiracy. There goes the conspiracy theory right there.
Yeah.
Putting urinals too tall to make those short dudes hang out at your spot.
How's the what was the height on the sink? Was that an option to piss in?
No, that was regular height.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't gonna piss. Well, then I was on one wall, and I it was high enough to the point where I'm like, let me look at these other urinals, and I look like a real creep because people were using the other urinals.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around them.
How's yours over there, buddy?
What's going on? Hey, is your dick touching? But
you ever pee in a sink at in a hotel room?
No. Why would you do that?
Never mind.
What was happening?
Just it's there.
Just because in the same room that a toilet's in.
Mm-hmm.
I've peed in sinks,
mm-hmm.
but it's only because like it's had to happen that way.
Yeah, no,
it's never been like. Let me just do this for a change.
Yeah, variety. And it's it's hotel room.
I need a variety of where to urinate. That's never something I'm like. I wish I was peeing in something different. That was a shit. When we were at like shitty parties or something when we were younger, we were jerks and we'd pee in a garbage can in the bathroom. We'd all just fill the trash can up with pee.
That's pretty funny.
So it was a dick move. We don't like, if somebody was rude or like the host was like you know what? Fuck this place.
Yeah.
Pee in the garbage can. So they just have a bucket of pee in there. It's not, I mean, it's not, I'm not proud of it, but that's, I'm not going to lie and say I never peed in the trash can if I thought the host was a. Unlikable person.
Well, every now and then in a hotel, like at a Motel 6, they'll design the sinks like low. I think for like special needs or people in wheelchairs, so they can have access to it.
Qualify for being somebody who wants to pee in a sink. Yeah, now you sound extra bad.
Yeah, now
you pee in the sinks where the handicapped people have to use.
Just made that realization.
You want to just restart this whole thing?
Nah, that's okay. I stand by my work.
Why do you do it? Just to like.
I think it's a power move. It's like, hey, look at me. Nobody tell me where to pee. I mean, it's that van life.
I mean, I'll pee in a shower all day long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that.
Which sounds like a medical condition. I can't stop. What if you could never stop? Just somebody, I don't stop. Like, not like, oh, like people like that leaks a little bit. But if you just never stop peeing, you're always kind of peeing.
Did you ever listen to those dumb Adam Sandler comedy CDs in the 90s?
I once in a while.
They were real dumb. But
I know, but they
go being a stuff. High school kid in the 90s, that, you know, it was like, that was, if you were a dumb 15-year-old, it was right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
But he has a sketch where it's just some guy at a party. He's like, hey, man, let me in there. I really got to pee. And he goes in, you hear the door open, you hear the lid lift, and then he's the zipper, and then he starts peeing like normal, and then it just keeps going and going.
Classic long pee.
But not only does it a long pee, the volume, eventually it turns into like a fire hose, and he's going, oh man, gushing.
Well, that was an Austin Powers move too, where he's been frozen forever, and he goes pee for a long time. The long pee would get me.
Yeah.
When it was just an audio thing.
Yeah. What's the longest you've ever peed? I've had some Dino Whoppers, man.
Dino Whoppers?
Oh, man.
That sounds like a drag queen's name.
I think...
Dino Whopper.
I guarantee I've clocked over a minute before.
No fucking way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
We'll try it next week.
If you count... But, okay, if I'm... I've been confused. Like, if I get stoned and then I'm sitting, I realize, oh, I'm going to go pee. And then it's because, you know, obviously your sense of time is altered when you're high. But also, I've been like, well, I have just been sitting there forever playing video games, whatever I've been doing high. I've been like, damn, where I'll lean on something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have to change hands or something.
Well, I've done that before, too. I told you the time I brushed my teeth for 22 minutes. Did I tell you about that?
No.
That's high. I was watching Seinfeld. And started a new one and started brushing my teeth. And I just stood there and brushed my teeth for the entire episode. Didn't even realize it. And I was like, oh, man. Just
blood coming out of your mouth. There's no bristles left on the toothbrush.
I did. I brushed my teeth for 22 minutes. I propose we test it out. And then maybe next week I come over here. I save it up all day. Get a gallon of water in me.
Do that to yourself,
it's,
man.
But it's fun.
No, it's not. It's not healthy to hold it in. I've had where I've held it in to a point of I thought medically I was upset. I got farts, man. I have been eating vegetables a lot.
Oh, lately. Man. Veggies, I love when the grains. Fart doesn't even stand alone. It's like a run-on sentence.
Yeah, it's just that. I mean, I'm just it's part of my body.
So anyway, you know, I was eating
it's part of my body, all right?
I understand.
I've been doing a lot of veggie burgers lately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're suffering, man. I'm sitting here drinking.
I'm a day two of nothing, man. I've got what they call
rocks and leaves.
I got what they call the keto flu. I'm trying to get back on that keto life. No sugar, no
sign of a diet when you feel like shit while you're up.
Well, yeah, because my body's detoxing. All the sugar and all that stuff. Oh boy, that one
is that coming by you,
man.
Sorry, man.
That one's got some teeth to it.
That's what detoxing smells like.
Tennessee barking spiders. Boy, that's
sorry,
rough.
Buddy. Sorry, buddy. That was going to fray the wires on the equipment here.
All right,
that'll crash your computer. That's yeah. Kind of getting hard drive.
But no, I'm back. I'm back on
damage.
It. I'm back on the diet, and I'm day two of nothing.
All right,
well. Just eating meat and veggies, and. Oh, man, I just, everything sucks, dude. It's so bad.
Well, did you go balls? All right, let's address, I'm sorry for your loss.
It's been a rough week, man.
The last episode, we made the mistake, and we preemptively were celebrating the dogs.
I wasn't celebrating.
Cheering them on.
I was cheering them on. I knew they had a big challenge.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. It was a much closer game than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was obviously with the dogs, but I may have even said this last week. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't have bet against them, but I just wouldn't have bet. Like, Alabama's great, and I don't want to bore you with football talk, but Alabama's
– talk what we want.
They're a dynasty. And so if you'd have told me that it had been a tie game going into overtime on the last episode, I'd been like, yes, yeah. I'll take that all day. Because, you know, early on in the game, I was like, as a lifelong sports fan, it's always a battle between your brain and your heart. Your heart's like, yeah, go get them. And your brain's like, ugh. And I was just like, well, just you don't want to get blown out.
It's like a relationship with anything.
Yeah, yeah. And especially on a national platform like that, because it's happened a lot where look what happened to my Falcons last year. In the Super Bowl, biggest game of the year, the biggest choke in the history of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that's worse. What's worse, the biggest choke or the biggest blowout? I mean, sometimes there's been Super Bowl games. I think the Falcons went 98 and lost 55 to 12 or some shit like that. I don't know. But like,
I think a blowout is a sign of like a, that's like a psychological, like,
so
like what, yeah, what happens when you just get like, you made it that far and you got nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's just being clutch. You know, people choke. It's just like, I mean, it happens in comedy, you know, people get a big fat TV spot and they go up there and lay an egg.
I haven't seen anybody totally blow a TV spot.
I've seen a couple.
Yeah,
I'm not going to name names, but I've seen a couple.
I take that back. Maybe I have seen some.
I've seen it. Well, there's one that's legendary in our circles.
No,
I know. I'm not going to point him out, but yeah, comics know who I'm talking about.
I think he's doing fine.
But there's been a few recently.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it is a weird thing though, where I mean, you got how many spots? You got one or two?
What's that?
A couple spots, TV spots. You got,
oh, me?
You
got Last Comic Standing, Ferguson.
Yeah,
and then Vice Slam. Then I don't.
But yeah, but like, well, that, but like when it's like a night talk show.
Yeah,
a night show. I fucking forgot what grilled cheeses were called. When it's a night show.
Yeah.
And when it's on tonight, but every night that's a show with a guy. Oh
man, they're still barking over there.
Guts are falling.
Jesus,
out of my body.
Dude.
I know, man. A lot of veg and grains. But like, what you're like, okay, there's a lot more ceremonies, but like, I'm going to do a spot. I'm going to get ready. Oh, I'm watching a show. I'm watching people laugh at stand-up. I know they're a good crowd. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm just sitting backstage watching whatever celebrity have a story, and it's real intimidating, and it's real easy to get in your head.
Oh, yeah.
About something like that, and then you got, you know, a bunch of people like follow the tape here and get ready, and all of a sudden like, okay,
yeah,
and you hear somebody say your name on the other side of a curtain, and it's like, remember to stand on that little spot that's out there and address it. It's nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah.
And the audience is 40, 50 feet away from you instead of like a stand-up audience.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I don't know about, I know you've done Conan a lot and all the, you've done them all, but like the one late night spot I did, they had me be there 3.5 hours before my set.
Oh yeah!
So 3.5 hours of just pacing in the green room, literally just 3.5 hours of like, good Lord.
That's why I love seeing like a either together or separately, John Doerr and Rory Scovel doing anything on Conan.
Yeah,
I watched John Doerr at a spot. I think it was a rerun or something. It was like he showed up as a centaur, like,
oh, I saw that one. That was pretty recent.
That was great. But with like something like, you know what? I'm just gonna go balls out and do weird stuff. Where how much you worry about how perfect the joke is and how the timing is. If they don't laugh there, you get nervous because then you have the other words you have to say after that, and they don't laugh at those words, then you doubt yourself. And to see somebody just go out and be like, I'm just going to do some real silly shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the spirit of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Conan as far as all the late night shows. Like, Conan gets it.
Yeah.
Like, that crew gets it.
Yeah.
There.
Well, John Doerr is the king of the silly shit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's done so many silly sets on Conan.
Go look up John Doerr and Rory Scovel.
They've done at least two together.
Yeah, just look them up. Just look them up. Just look them up.
But yeah, anyway.
So the teams, they and then, yes, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago, my Falcons lost. Ugh. Just within 5 days, both my teams, their seasons came to an end on last second place. Last second.
I was in a restaurant watching that Falcons game.
That they should have beat them. I mean, they were. It was weird because Philadelphia was the number one seed. Falcons was the number six seed going into the playoffs, just because of how their seasons ended. But because Philadelphia's starting star quarterback got hurt and wasn't playing, we were actually the favorite, even though they were ranked higher and we were on the road. So I just had every confidence that they were going to win that game. But, man, it was tight the whole game, and then they couldn't pull it off. But I think the Georgia game was a bigger heartbreak because that was the championship game.
Have you ever reacted surprisingly or aggressively during a loss? Because I don't want to be like, oh, sports balls. I'm coming around.
Uh-huh.
So at 41, I'm fine. Like, I get, like, I see what people get involved in sports.
Yeah.
And you're emotionally involved. But nothing delights me more than sports fans destroying their own property.
Yeah.
Well, like people punching their TVs and stuff like that. Like, that, I giggle.
Yeah.
I mean, I only think about how many times it's the person's spouse instead of the TV.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That is bad.
Those are the only options around. Punch your TV.
Yeah.
Punch your television.
No, I've never gotten violent with an inanimate object or a person. But put it this way, I burn more calories on these two games than I've ever had. Like, I was just pacing around, just screaming, down on my knees. Come on, first down. Like, just willing them to victory. And
with
just,
the missus? Did the missus have
to witness
this?
Yeah, the missus had to witness both of these.
Yeah.
And not necessarily a sports fan, so she just didn't understand. I mean, she was a good sport, no pun intended.
Can't just let you be.
But just like, you could tell she's like, what the hell's wrong with him? And I'm just like, you don't get it. I'm not going to try to explain it to you. You know,
I mean, I could get like watching the Cubs in a World Series, even not being a sports guy. Like, it's been so long. But I can't think of anything else in my life that I've like, what would get me so riled to punch my I punch shit. Like, I break stuff out of anger all the time.
Yeah.
But it's usually frustrating. I can't punch myself.
By the way, I saw that picture of that remote. I don't know what happened. Good
God. Beat the shit out of that remote. Vizio televisions. Uh-huh. It's a fine screen, and your remotes can suck the farts out of my ass. Mm. And that's the third remote that I have now because they just stop. They just don't want to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it'll work if you stand at a 32-degree angle around. And I just... So only so many times you can like spin the new batteries in the back or do what they say to press all the buttons to get all the energy out or just repair it with the television. Eventually, it's me versus robots, which is the theme of this podcast, and fuck you robots. When they're tiny robots and I can smash them, you get smashed, robots.
Yeah.
I'm not going to break the whole goddamn TV. That's stupid. That's a stupid thing.
You get smashed, robot. I ain't afraid of you, robot.
Oh, my God. When what was it, like the Sony? Who made Wii? Nintendo? Who was making the Wii?
I guess Nintendo. You're asking Wii. The wrong. I think it is Nintendo
or whoever it was. But when they like you were playing the tennis, like all the videos that came out of people playing tennis and throwing the controllers into the television.
Oh, really?
God damn, that was hilarious. Yeah, because you like you'd hold the controller, and make the physical motions of playing tennis, and it was all of them slipping out of people's hands, and just smashing new flat screens. Because it was also came out at the same time everybody finally got a flat screen TV.
Well, there you go. That's on par with a frustrated sports fan. It's somebody losing at a video game. I could remember.
No, they weren't doing it on purpose. It's because you had to hold the controller and pretend like you're playing tennis.
I thought you meant
the controllers were slipping out of people's hands right into the television.
I thought you meant the same anger in real tennis when you lose. You might slam your racket.
No. This was people accidentally destroying your tennis. No, like those videos. I know it's schadenfreude. I know it's like not the nicest thing to laugh at the misfortune of others. Especially like sports guys that get all aggro and break their own TVs.
Yeah.
Fuck those idiots. But... like the people that were just throwing their controllers accidentally through their television, I laughed at. I felt bad for them because you could see them just freeze. Like, what have I done?
Yeah. But I think I remember. I think I've mentioned before on this podcast. I'm not a big video game guy. The last time I was into video games was the original Nintendo in the mid to late 80s, and I can remember being 10 or 11 and spending hours on Metroid or whatever and getting to that final stage and then losing.
Yeah.
Oh, I've definitely thrown those remotes across the room.
I would yell.
Yeah.
At the old place, I would yell. Mm-hmm. And I get a text from the neighbor like, hey, man, how's it? You all right? I'm like, yeah, dude. Just trying this bullshit PlayStation stuff.
Yeah.
I give up. But that's the thing. Like, I'll start to get frustrated. I'm like, hold on. This is a video game.
Yeah.
If you're not good at it, nothing in the world changes.
Yeah.
Well,
same thing with sports. And I even acknowledge that. I was so pissed the other night when I immediately told Katie. I was like, I know this doesn't change my life. It doesn't affect me in any way. But it's just – it's one of those intangible things that you can't describe. It's just like you want to see your team win. And when they get that close – and I don't know if it's a civic thing or – you know, but like – you know, it's like – even though I don't live there
family,
anymore, but like
–
yeah, family and city and it's like, oh, I want the whole – you know, I wanted all the Georgia fans to just have a good night and just, you know, just because like any team I've been a fan of, it's all Georgia-based teams. I've never been a fan of like a dynasty. Like if you grew up a Yankees fan in the 50s and 60s or even now Alabama fans, like Alabama just won their fifth title in 9 years or something like that.
Yeah.
In the last decade, they've won five times.
Like, I was in Chicago when the Bulls were going through it.
Yeah.
I've still never been to a Bulls game. Like, once in a while, like, of course they're in the playoffs again. I guess I'll watch.
Yeah.
Like, so you're at somebody else's house. But I wasn't around sports fans and grew up a sport. Like, I remember walking to my friend's house during, like, in an afternoon, and it was real eerie. Wow, there's no sound, there's no cars.
Wow.
Because the Bulls were in, like, yeah, whatever, last game or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was my memory of that dynasty, was, yeah, going to my friends to, like, shoot model rockets or some shit. Some some nerd never seen a boob stuff we were doing well into our teens.
But there's just that that realization of, like, oh, my team may never get this close again. Like, Alabama, yeah, fans now, they're just like, oh, yeah, we'll be there next year. But, like, who's to say Georgia will ever get into the national title game in my lifetime? Who's to say the Falcons will ever get back to the Super Bowl in my lifetime? Mm-hmm. So when they get there and lose, you're just like, fuck. It's just,
yeah,
you can't describe it to somebody who's not a sports fan.
Let me ask you this. Now, as far as personal challenges, mm-hmm, like video games getting upset about, is it more of a zen standpoint? Like, if I'm not good at video games, I step back. I'm like, wait. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad at this.
Yeah.
And I leave happier. Is that laziness or zen?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think,
you know, as opposed to getting all fucking pissed about stuff.
Well, and I think part of the frustration of being a sports fan is being helpless to it. Being, you know, not being in the game and just being like, ugh. I know it's an old cliche, but, like, I could have done that. And, like, there are some plays, like, for example, yesterday, again, not to bore you with details, but
give me the details.
The Vikings and Saints game went down to the final play. The Saints were down by 13 points. They came all the way back, took the lead. It was back and forth in the very end. 9 seconds left. The Vikings are 61 yards away from the goal line. They just heave it up. This guy catches it, and then this defender is right there. Just easy, normal. The receiver is up in the air. He jumps up in the air to catch the ball. The defender is right there. All he's got to do is just wrap his legs up and take him down. He literally, it looked like someone told him to go pretend to miss a tackle. Like, he literally just ran right by the guy and fell down. When the guy finally, after he catches the ball and his feet hit the ground, he's like, oh, shit, really? And just runs 40 yards, and the game is over. So, like, even a play like that.
An athlete is like, hold on, you fucked up that bad? I actually have to do a thing now?
Yeah, yeah. When the guy landed, he was like, how the hell has nobody tackled me yet? And
there's
then he
no
just
way you can suck this
and he just turned. But that was a case where, like, no, even me, I could have made that tackle if I was in that position. But, like, it was such an error. It was such a faux pas that, like, even the receiver was like, what the hell? And that was the game I was telling you about where apparently the game was in Minnesota, but I had heard literally 9 seconds left. It's an impossible – the chances of the Vikings pulling that win off was about 1%. And I had heard that even before the game ended that they were already shooting off fireworks in New Orleans because they're like, oh, we got this. We won this shit.
I mean, it's New Orleans. They could just have been like, hey, what are we – that's Sunday. If I can light them up.
But, yeah, I think it's more frustrating to sit and watch and be helpless and be like, ah, why can't you just get one more yard or make one more catch? So, yeah.
But that's where, like, I can step back and say that's exciting. Not being a sports fan, that's an exciting – that's drama. If you like a good story,
mm-hmm,
if you like battles, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of drama,
mm-hmm. Oh,
transition.
Yeah.
Hawaii thought it was going to get hit by a nuclear missile.
Yeah, what happened there? I heard something. I didn't do any follow-up.
Basically, the guy where they're either testing the system, the nuclear response system, you could either I think it came down to like two choices. You either mark like let people know that they're testing the system,
mm-hmm,
or the this is not a test option. Hit that one. Oh. So for, I don't know how long it was, but it was for a little while. It was less than an hour. But for some time frame there, people in Hawaii thought a ballistic missile was heading towards the state of Hawaii.
I mean, anything more than a minute is just panic mode. Like,
yeah.
They should have corrected that within the minute.
Yeah, let's see how long it was. But that was my – okay, outside of that being terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And when was this?
Saturday? Saturday. Missile. I'm going to look up missile mistake.
Imagine if it happened 2 weeks ago when you were there.
I would have been – I mean –
what would you have done? What do you do?
How is missile mistake? That's well. That's my question. What do you do? How would you respond? Because I'm wondering how many, on top of the like obvious panicked last messages to loved ones.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody went the other way, like just texted their boss, like "suck my dick." I didn't like working here anyway. Like. Like, I wonder how many, whoops, hey, we're all under a lot of pressure. People respond different ways.
Oh, man. I'm sure there had to be a few cases like that of, like, somebody doing something incredibly rash like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I wonder if, if it was happening, I would rather be at ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've made the joke before, but, why? Like, what do you want to live after that? Like, what, like, in a nuclear wasteland?
Yeah.
Like, you just want to just sift through the ashes of your friends looking for water. That's a whole realization I've had of, like, all doomsday prepper stuff. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, they got this, they got that. I'm like, no, just get me where it's falling. Get me, fuck, let the missile hit me. I want to be able to read the numbers on it right before it hits me.
Well, here's a question. When they sent the alert, did they say how much time you have?
No, they just.
Like, I wonder, is that part of the protocol? Like, hey, by the way, 45 minutes and counting.
The alert went out to people's phones. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill.
Damn.
No. Yet.
What was the follow-up?
Because that's always... And then it was like, it's a drill. It's a drill. We fucked up. I mean, have you ever been in a restaurant or something where everybody gets an alert on their phone at the same time? It's a free... Like,
yeah.
You know, you don't know what it is yet. Like... It might be high winds or rain, but still,
Amber
you
alert.
See everybody's phone go off.
Yeah, I've been at parties where that's happened.
That's an eerie feeling.
Yeah,
you know? That's like an odd. And then imagine the response of reading that, like, oh, it's a missile, like, and you're on an island. Like, let's go to the beach.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm surfing Pipeline today.
Yeah.
I bet there was like surfers who were already cool were like just reinforced it like. Final shaka, brah. One last shaka. That's what I would have said. Even if I was just on vacation, I would have just grabbed a board like, shaka, brah, over and out, and paddled out.
If you had an hour.
Probably got hurt real bad in 5 feet of water paddling out.
What would you do right now if we had an hour? If we got the message and it says it's going to make contact in 60 minutes.
I mean.
What do we do?
I mean, the non-joke response is, you know, you call your loved ones and, you know, all the stuff normally. But, man, you know what? I like to say something cool right now. Like, you know what? That good whiskey I've been saving sounds like it's a good time for mm-hmm. that. But I wouldn't know the difference between good whiskey or bad whiskey. I would just chug some booze, get a little buzz.
I'd go to In-N-Out and just go behind the counter and make my own burgers.
You want to spend your last hour... learning the operations, going through the freezer.
I've always wanted to break into a restaurant for the purpose of just cooking my own stuff after hours.
Do you need a nuclear missile threat for that, or you could just get a job there?
No, but that's my...
You've worked in restaurants.
No, but that's my...
It's a shitty fantasy, Dave. I mean, I don't like to say that to people. That's a shitty fantasy. Hour left, what do? Break into In-N-Out and make it the way I want to make it? They make them every way you can make them. They make grilled cheese there. I had grilled cheese the other night. Instead of a burger patty, basically they just put a whole thick slice of onion in there.
Ooh.
And I loved it.
Is it still on the bun or is it on toast?
No, it's all just the bun. They just take the burger out, put a fat slice of onion in there.
And they melt the cheese?
Yeah.
Seals it up?
Cheese, tomato, animal style, all the stuff you want to have.
Cauterizes the wound?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But, like, yeah, you just want, like...
I don't know. I don't know what I'd do in an hour.
You'd eat, drink? I'd like to say try to have sex, but I feel like the pressure would just be like... I get, like, if I just hear a noise outside, I'm like, all right, let's stop. I can't. I'm gonna need a while. Get back into this. It's already such a fragile mental state that I have to hang on to be present during sex. Like, oh, by the way, we're all going to die. Like,
No, which if it happened like right now.
Hold on, let me pull on it for a little bit.
We just pull the Jeep out and just rampage around the city.
Well, fuck yeah. Well,
just driving through people's yards.
The Jeep that's like if something else happens. I mean, shit, mudslides and stuff happening last week.
Yeah.
Not like that, but that's the kind of reasoning. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I like getting LASIK. That was, you know, mm-hmm. my sister saying, well, if shit goes down, I'm going to be looking for contact lenses. Great reason to get LASIK.
Yeah.
That's why I don't trust any smart person with glasses. You're not that smart.
Mm.
You got lasers that can correct your vision.
Mm.
And then you don't have to wear dumb glasses like a nerd.
Yeah.
You're telling me you're a billionaire, you got glasses? Get the fuck out of here.
Nerd.
Yeah. Get your shit together. Shoot lasers in your eyes. Especially if you're talking about how the future and you're in technology and you won't let them shoot lasers in your eyes, I don't trust you.
Hmm. I mean, I get the hesitation with lasers in your eyeballs. It's a little. I mean, well,
you're not going to trust lasers in the eyeballs that they can still do with a pretty decent job in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to tell me to trust your driverless automobile?
True.
No, not at all.
True.
I don't trust lasers. Anyway, get behind this car. It's going to drive you without you touching anything.
Yeah.
Down a highway. In no way. How's that thing running? Lasers? Why am I supposed to trust your lasers? You won't trust their lasers.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But I don't know. I don't know what I would do. You know? I think it would just be a... Yeah. I'd probably just try to chill out. Put my cars.
Yeah.
Put my RC cars.
Boy, you're getting deep into that.
Yeah, man.
We're up by the garage raising hell a while ago.
Yeah, playing my little toys.
Man.
I get like I understand that now.
Uh-huh.
Like model train sets.
See, I always thought that'd be cool. I'd like to have a model train.
I see like old dudes, like that's the retirement thing because that's mm-hmm. the world they can control.
Yeah.
When everything else is changing around them, you know, they can look at their little train landscape like, fuck. No homos getting married here.
That's the saddest part about Sopranos was Bobby Bacala getting whacked in a train store. Did you see that? Remember that? The final season of Sopranos?
I saw the whole thing, but I forgot.
Big guy Bobby Bacala, he gets really into trains. And he's look at the Moe and Joe action. He's with his, not, I don't think he's with his kid on that one, but he's trying to get his kid into it, but the kid doesn't care. But he keeps going in and out of this model train store for a few weeks, and that's where they finally whack him, and he falls on the train track. And it's pretty sad because it's such a wholesome activity he's doing.
It is.
Then he gets murdered.
You know what's weird, though? If you go into any – not any. But every time I've gone into a hobby shop and I got a train set,
mm-hmm.
like a big elaborate one,
mm-hmm.
look around, there's going to be like people fucking in it.
In the train?
In the landscape. They
really?
Even sell the pieces. There's a hobby shop that I went to in Burbank, and there's a whole German manufacturer. They sell, like, all the little figurines, and, like, here's, like, they're frolicking or something or whatever.
Really?
They call it. And it's little naked people, and there's, like there's this little hint of, like, randiness to these model train guys. But you gotta go, like, you gotta look real, like, it, all the way, like, it's like they hide them, like Easter eggs. You gotta look all the way in the little forest that they set around the mountain, around the back of the thing, and there's always, like, something, there's always, like, a little dirty treat.
Huh.
Yeah. Go look at model train sets, and you'll be like, oh, here's the gas station, here's the fire station, and, like, oh, look for camping. If you see camping, if you see where they set, probably naked people in the woods there.
Just a guy sitting in a parked car with his head staring at the ceiling.
Honest, that's the stuff they put in there, and it's like, nobody will know. And then you see it, and you're just in a hobby shop. Like,
you know what I would like, speaking of trains? Like, imagine in this room right now, if we ran the little race car tracks up near the ceiling.
Slot cars?
Slot cars.
Hell yeah, man.
But all around the room. Vroom, vroom, vroom. That'd be fun.
Slot cars with the sound effect? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you really sold it when you said made the vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Those are bit, like, you can get slot cars are a big thing. The carpet, like, on the carpet drift, like you can get RC cars that are just drift cars.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm into it now. It's a whole tiny world that has nothing to do with the outside world, and it's great.
You know, you're like,
not, you can't, like, it's not bro-y. Like, there's still, like, shop heads,
uh-huh,
but it's not, like, there's still not bros, like, you know, all mountain bike and stuff.
Yeah.
There's still, like, gear god, the real aggro.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it can't be aggro and, like, about radio-controlled cars.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. You should just go ahead and retire.
I think I am.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing anything else. Sitting here talking about make-believe shit with you. Speaking of, should we get to the...
I don't know.
This is a boogie monster.
It's a boogie monster. I forgot. Hey, real quick, I had a good pastrami sandwich the other day before I started the diet.
Where'd you go?
Well, we're both fans of the old Langer's.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there a few weeks ago on my own. And amazing sandwich, but $17. Something in my blood won't let me pay $17 for a sandwich.
You should get two sandwiches for $17.
Mm-hmm. Or it should at least come with a side and a drink. No. I found a place up in Burbank called Moore's Delicatessen. Sandwich is just about as good as the one at Langer's. Got the they call it the what do they call it? I forgot what they call it. But it's basically pastrami, Swiss, coleslaw, Russian dressing, and it is on rye.
Where's this at? Burbank, where?
Downtown Burbank, 3rd and Orange Grove.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like right across from police headquarters.
I wonder where that is. Yeah.
$12. $12.
I love a pastrami.
Oh, man. It's good. There's this fatty, too. Get some fat on it.
What's the difference between corned beef and pastrami?
I think pastrami is the pork version. If I understood correctly.
We're both sitting in front of fucking robots that can tell us these things.
I think they're prepared the same way. I think one is beef and one is pork. Totally making that, pulling that out of my ass.
Corned beef.
But that sounds like it
would
make
sense. Why
is it
only beef you can corn? You can't corn other meats?
I was trying to think of a fart joke there. I'm sure you're about to corn something.
That beef is corn. It's, nope.
Nope.
Same thing, but, corned beef is boiled. Pastrami is smoked.
So pastrami is beef.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I always had a problem with, like, Jewish delis. And I always thought it was like a pork thing. Mm. It's not. It's beef.
Interesting.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, that is probably my I feel ashamed as a foodie that I didn't know that answer. But, like, deli is one of the most foreign cuisines to me. You know, growing up in the South, like, deli just seems like a more of a Northeast, Midwest type thing.
God damn, I love a deli sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing the meat right now.
Uh-huh.
But I'll just look at lists like of best sandwiches in LA and just each one. Like, I would have that.
Yeah.
I would eat that one. Just sliced. Like that ASMR kind of idea of what people find satisfying.
Yeah.
It's seeing a slice of ham and just elegantly fall off of a slicer. Man. Just flip, flip, flip. Oh. Yeah, that'll get me going.
Have you been to Monte Carlo in Burbank? That Italian deli?
Ooh, boy. I don't think so. I'll go to Tony's.
It's on Magnolia.
Even when I make sandwiches here, I'll still, like, I wouldn't just put the ham or the sliced meats flat. I'll put a little wave, you know, kind of.
No, you can't.
Add some volume to your sandwich. I mean, I know it's just illusion. But treat yourself to that. Don't lay it flat like a fucking prisoner, you know?
Yes.
Make it with a pizzazz.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know what I've done sometimes? Even if I got, like, just the real crappy prepackaged store-bought meat, not even this deli slice stuff, but I'll take that and I'll roll it up. I'll take two or three pieces, roll it up, and then slice it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's just kind of like ribbons of ham all over my sandwich.
Ham ribbons.
Ugh.
The Budding ham, the 79-cent package of Budding
Carl
ham.
Carl Budding.
Which was just trash.
Trash. I used to eat that as a kid as a snack.
Yeah, it was like if a cow got like, If a cow skinned its knee,
yeah,
it was, that's the quality.
It was damn near roadkill.
Fell off that animal.
Yeah.
I love that stuff so much.
Yeah.
Me and the cat would go nuts. If you opened up a package of budding ham in a house, the cat would start yowling. I'd be like, oh, I'm getting a good sandwich. One package, make a whole sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'm salivating right now over that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still out there? Is Carl Budding still abusing animals?
I'm sure it is.
For 79 cents a package?
Yeah.
The chicken, which just had bubbles in it?
Ugh.
Lunch meat that had bubbles in it. I love a pimento loaf.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about that.
Damn, I love an olive loaf or a loaf or some sort of bubbly meat.
Mm-hmm.
Ham with bubbles in it. Why is there bubbles in it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, that's a thing to question.
Yeah.
Speaking of ham with bubbles in it, Dave, you picked the topic for this week. Let's just get to it.
Dude.
The less I believe in the topic, the further we get to it in the episode. Anybody really tuning in for the first time, like, oh, it's about supernatural stuff, has long since shut this off. And rightfully so. I mean, a big thanks to the listeners and everybody that subscribes to the Patreon. We stumble into stuff. We talked about missiles.
Yeah, yeah.
The end of times.
Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted to revisit this topic. It's a topic we touched on briefly during, I guess, maybe our one and only crossover episode or swapcast. Somebody corrected me.
You know what that's called?
Yeah, I don't know.
I corrected you with a term that was just made up
in the last
6 months.
What's your buddy's podcast we were on?
I forgot. It was Wade and Willie's. What's the name of theirs?
Real Life Sci-Fi.
That's
yeah,
it.
We should know that.
I said a thing for a minute.
Yeah, we talked about giants on that episode.
And Willie was, that's how you do it. That Willie knew everything.
Yeah, Willie.
Veritable encyclopedia of information.
But I feel like either I wasn't paying attention or we didn't get to this little subtopic. We're talking about giants and the possibility of them throughout history. And then there's always the biblical references to them, the Nephilim. According to some interpretations of the Bible, the Nephilim was the word used to refer to giants. In the book of Genesis, they refer to them as the sons of God and the daughters of men. And it's a couple different times in the Bible. They talk about, I mean, David and Goliath, and not just biblical, but
sons of God, daughters of men.
Yeah.
So they couldn't be daughters of gods?
No, it's the sons of God breeding with the daughters of men. And that's what created the Nephilim, the biblical giants. So. But anyway, so this particular story, I don't think we covered on that episode, but I'll give you the rundown. All right. November 2005, this author and radio host, a guy named Steve Quayle, he appeared on Coast to Coast AM. Anybody listening to this should know what Coast to Coast is.
God, why do I keep renewing my subscription for Coast to Coast?
And Steve Quayle alleged that he had received an email from an anonymous U.S. Air Force officer claiming that the Air Force had discovered a giant in Afghanistan in March of 2005 and transported the 12-foot-tall, 1,100-pound creature to a secret base in Europe after they got
1,100 pounds.
1,100
That's
pounds.
Almost 100 pounds a foot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a lot or a little?
No, that's a lot.
Yeah, if somebody was 3 foot tall.
Yeah, I mean, you're 5'8", you'd be 580 pounds.
Fuck yeah, man.
That's a dense giant.
Bad math on my.
This anonymous Air Force officer, he alleged that this thing had 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot, smelled like shit. One version of the story he told on the radio, according to Coast episode, summaries posted online, claimed that the giant had been recently killed in Afghanistan by some U.S. soldiers who engaged it in a firefight, well, a one-sided firefight. It came out of this cave, and he attacked this crew of soldiers, and they finally shot and killed them and transported them to somewhere in Europe. All right, but the story has changed a few times. Quayle returned to the story in 2008. He came back onto Coast to Coast, where he said he talked to a pilot who refused to identify himself. He claimed that the military loaded the body onto a giant aircraft, took it not to Europe but to a base in Ohio. So right there, the story's already changed. And then this guy, you ever heard of
– That's a lot of ice.
You ever heard of L.A. Marzulli? There's this dude named L.A. Marzulli, initials L.A., who ironically based out of L.A.
It sounds like he designs a custom guitar straps.
He does. Oh, man. Got you a nice Marzulli?
Oh, man. I got engraved.
L.A. Marzulli, he's this author and filmmaker. He is the
like he does hair.
He's the co-producer of this series of DVDs called The Watchers. And a lot of it is stuff that's right up our alley. A lot of UFO stuff, some cryptid stuff. And I've looked at his stuff before, and at first glance, you're like, all right, this is right up my alley. Unfortunately, every story kind of funnels towards some sort of biblical angle. So he's got this he got one episode where he talks about the Nephilim and how, you know, there's still giants on Earth, and it's proof of, you know, the Bible was correct and whatever. So anyway, he picked up the story a couple years ago, and he made an episode about it. However, Marzulli's version of the story, a little bit different than the two we heard from Steve Quayle.
Yeah.
In the DVD, he explains I've watched it. He's interviewing an unidentified, unnamed man who claims to be the officer who encountered the giant. And he's talking to the guy, and he's got him pixelated out, and he's altering his voice. And it always reminds
me. No name, can't tell. It's just him. It's him filling you with bullshit.
And I can't see the pixelated face and the altered voice now without thinking of the Zach Galifianakis Purple Onion special where he plays Seth, his twin brother Seth, and he's being interviewed by Brian Unger, and he just tells a story about he wants to tell the time that he and Zach got in a big argument, but he's like, will you turn my voice into like that monster voice? It's like, I guess we can. He goes, so I came home, and Zach's in the basement, and I'm like, what is this, a chemistry set or something? He's like, I'm making ecstasy, and I'm like, what's ecstasy? And he's like, ecstasy makes me a better dancer. One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
They did that on that HBO special about that tour de pharmacy, like making fun of like all the doping and
I didn't see the tour
de France.
Oh, the tennis? Is that? Oh, no.
It's Andy Samberg.
Okay.
You know, and who's the wrestler that's real funny that's in everything? He was in Amy Schumer's movie.
Oh, John Cena.
That guy's funny.
Yeah, he's funny. He's got some chops.
And they're all like, he's like, I'm not doping. And he's just huge.
He's giant.
Just a giant guy. But they actually have Lance Armstrong as the guy telling him, yeah, there's a lot of doping in the industry. And he's like blocked out. But there's always somebody coming in the room and turning the lights on. And they're like, his voice is hidden, but he's like, you sure you can't see me? He's like, it's all shadows right now. He's like, can I maybe get a hat or something to put on so nobody else, like, put him a bike helmet on? He's like, I think I'm more recognizable in this. As much as, like,
it seemed
like he was a real son of a bitch. If you read about all the doping stuff that went on, it was pretty funny. Like, he really sent himself up on it. Speaking of hidden identities, only to make fun of L.A. Marzulli, saying he's a hairstylist. Do you know who Chaz Dean is? Look up Chaz Dean.
I've seen the billboards in L.A.
Tell me that's not the fucking Wayans brothers in White Chips. Tell me.
You know, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Look at his face. Yeah. Look at that.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's the Wayans brothers.
That is crazy.
Dressed up in white face. Anyway, where were we? This bullshit story.
L.A. Marzulli.
About fucking
But listen,
giant.
All right, you can watch. You can pull it up on YouTube. If you do L.A. Marzulli, I don't know. You figure it out. But I think it's episode number 18. But he's interviewing this dude. And the guy, you know, the guy says that he was part of this crew. All right, it was 2002, right after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
The soldier who he's talking to is the one who claims to have shot and killed this thing. And he tells a story.
Like a sword-wielding, like, biblical giant.
Yes.
It wasn't like just a big soldier from the other army.
No, no. All right.
Like the guy being how tall? 12 feet tall?
12 to 15 feet
12 to 15. Not unbelievable. Also, he just had a sword.
Like it was a pike.
Like it was a criminal. Like it was somebody they saw in Time Bandits.
Yeah. So.
Bullshit.
So this unnamed soldier, he tells it. This is his version. He says they're out there. He said they're in Afghanistan, 2002, and he's part of about a 6 to 8 man unit who's been sent out into the mountains to find another unit that has somehow gone missing. Okay. Yeah. So they're out in the mountains. They're wandering around. They come up on this cave, this opening to a cave, mm-hmm. and he sees all these bones. sees a bunch of bones scattered all around the outside of the cave.
Sure.
And he also sees what looks like radio device that he identifies. Like, hey, that looks like one of ours. And then out of nowhere, this 12 to 15 foot fucking giant emerges. Long red hair, wearing some sort of like caveman garment. He's got a pike in one hand, a big spear type pike thing, and a shield in the other. Starts raising hell. Everybody's freaking out. He takes his pike and stabs, impales one of the soldiers. Kills him.
How do you get stabbed? You're a soldier.
You got
guns,
assault rifles,
and grenades.
Yeah. This guy, only identified as Dan, was the victim. Dan got impaled. Dead as shit.
And this story about the military, the old Dan.
Mm-hmm. Everybody opens fire. They kill thing.
Nothing else.
They kill this thing. They load him up on a. They try to initially load him up.
An elite group of soldiers with nicknames. This one's. Give me Serpent. Give me Falcor. Give me Behemoth. And let's round it out with Dan. Give me Dan also. Dan's was really going to hold the team together. He's fun.
Coming to theaters this summer. Dan 2.
Yeah, I need Black Lung. I need Hawkwind. I need Laser Legs. And also give me Jeff. Throw Jeff in there too. Can I get a nickname? Nah, Jeff. We don't want to give away your superpower, the cool nickname. Just go by Jeff, and then you'll unleash your superpower. What's that? Oh, I die immediately like a black guy in a horror movie. That's my superpower. Okay, we can call you Sacrificial Jeff. That'll be your nickname. You know what? Just Jeff's fine. Anyway, go on. Tell me about this
now,
fucking thing.
This unnamed soldier who Marzulli is interviewing, he says that word had been getting around for years of some crazy giant in Kandahar, by the way. It's the specific area of Afghanistan. Now, after the battle, while everybody's mourning their fallen comrade, military sends in a helicopter to remove this creature. It's dead as shit now. And he said, quote, it was too big. We couldn't move it. It smelled worse than a skunk, like a corpse that had been around for a while. The communication was sent out that we had a very large, possibly human creature. But the soldiers were told afterwards to rewrite their what they call an after-action report. So he says that we had to rewrite it the way that our superiors wanted it because they didn't want them to mention how big this thing was, just that they had encountered some sort of man or soldier and they killed it. Soldier confirmed that the giant was armed with a weapon similar to the type Marzulli identified as the Nephilim Lance. He said it was found at another location and tied to other evidence of the existence of this creature. Other sources support the bizarre story. George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast, he appears in the film. He's discussing it with this pilot who claims that so they interview the guy who killed this giant, but then they also interview this pilot. This guy was piloting
with a rank.
A C-130 pilot. He claims he transported the giant corpse back to a base in Ohio. And the pilot said the creature was approximately 12 feet tall, weighed 1,100 pounds. They figured out they had some sort of rigging system. They had this this cargo rigging thing that also had a scale on it. And they said by itself it weighs about 400 pounds. And then when they put this thing on it, it weighed 1,500. So simple math tells you.
Like when they catch a shark.
Yeah,
hanging on the dock.
So, who knows if this guy's telling the truth. But he says, A, that U.S. soldiers – apparently it was common knowledge amongst certain special forces units that, oh, yeah, there's some big-ass giants in Afghanistan. And also apparently they talked to some locals, and the locals were like, oh, yeah. See, I always believe whenever – whether we're talking Bigfoot or this giant of Kandahar, I love it when they talk to the villagers and the locals. Because I just I don't feel like they're capable of bullshit.
The most uneducated, superstitious people of the lot.
Might be true, but I just what is this goat farmer in Afghanistan? Who's he trying to? He doesn't have a YouTube page. Who's he trying to swindle? You know, if he says he saw a giant,
A guy that knows 9 words and eats out of a puddle.
Exactly. He's not smart enough to bullshit.
I mean, all right. Like, I'm all about government covering things up.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it. They only caught one.
Yeah.
It killed Dan.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they did some research and...
Did they go in the cave?
The government, I don't know if they went in the cave.
Why wouldn't you go in the cave?
It's a good question.
Apparently, oh, something that's never else occurred on Earth came out of there. So let's take off. So we may learn that there's more and we have to battle.
Well, I mean, the question is this. If you and I both, well, I won't speak for you. I believe in Bigfoot. I believe you've alleged that you believe in Sasquatch.
I believe, yes.
So
cryptid.
Who's to say there can't be some 12-foot red-haired ginger living in a cave in Afghanistan?
Okay. So there's a 12-foot giant who still has the modesty to wear a loincloth. Who still, like, is eating other humans, but is still like, I don't want to see my dick.
Maybe it's a sun protection thing. Maybe don't want to get his balls sunburned.
Over his just, yeah, okay. Oh, I don't want my jennies flopping around in battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. It's the details nobody looks at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all, he's also wearing a little outfit. I mean, like, there's tall, like, okay, tallest person in the world recorded, Robert Wadlow.
Was it that dude, 8 foot 11 or something?
8 foot 11 inches tall.
Jeez.
Almost 9 feet tall. Now, that is a person. God,
that's insane.
Now, I can see some sort of, some sort of anomaly, some sort of, like, all right, we got army, and then we got, and also, as we were talking before, genetically mutating human beings. I would say almost positively they're out there already.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I could see. We're battling. I don't know if they're as sophisticated. Maybe they are though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe whatever the terrorists with all other their suspect morals of how they choose to do battle have some sort of research facility where like, ooh, we're fucking with genetics. And eugenics, and we're like, we created a giant, mentally unsound creature, put him in a cave. I'm not going like it's biblical or anything, but I could see them going, what the fuck did we do? This just wants to kill everything. Put him in the cave out there.
A lot like our friend Rene Rondelier from Savannah, the hulking wolf boy. Hulking giant wolf boy who, when we did the Savannah episode, who killed all the animals and stuff.
Yeah. That
he was funny. 7 foot seven, 490 pounds. And mentally challenged.
So if, I mean, I would think, okay, your genetic mutations, you're not going to get just a good one out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are people dealing with these things? Now, if we go into our theories about what's happening in the States, yeah, they're into some base somewhere. They're locked up, whatever, remnants of Roswell, and mm-hmm. they got our own fucked up giants that we made over mm-hmm. there, or we just killed them and fed them to the pigs or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if that's existing, if we trade warheads
mm-hmm.
and weapons with every other country when it benefits us, you know, why wouldn't any sort of biological warfare, or I don't know what you would call this, genetic weaponry,
mm-hmm.
or some sort of information that got sold. You know, like, mm-hmm. There's the DNA of a giant
mm-hmm.
that we've developed, and that gets sold. That's some espionage kind of thing. That I can go with on that angle for, mm-hmm. so for something like this happening, and then giving it to some, you know, third world dirt poor country like, you know, Afghanistan. We're like, oh, we got this. This is the DNA that can be weaponized. Did they figure out an age of this thing? Like, mm-hmm. if they took it and they studied it, they'd already got this information. They should be able to figure out the age of it.
Well, there was some somebody made a remark that they did take some sort of skin sample.
They did find a sheet cake.
I don't know.
With 36 candles.
I don't know.
So we're guessing he was 36.
I don't know what the results were, but they did take some sort of DNA sample.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's my thing, though.
All right. That's how I could believe in the story, that it was just some genetic, you know, militaristic genetic experiment. They're like, mm-hmm. whoa, it's killed everything in the lab. Mm-hmm. Just lock it in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why they wouldn't kill it right away, though, I don't know. Or it got out and lived in the cave, you know? That's shit that we couldn't find Osama bin Laden forever.
Most Americans, most Westerners have close to zero knowledge of both geography, terrain, and culture of the Middle East.
Or everywhere past the
yeah.
furthest Carl's Jr. they can get yeah. to.
But especially the Middle East, some of these, you know, I guess that would qualify as a third world country. You know, they're not – well, I guess some of those countries are industrialized, obviously, but definitely certain parts of Afghanistan are pretty primitive. Yeah. And not only do not many people – travel over there and explore that terrain. Lesser known Americans or people in the scientific community. I just feel like, you know, it's the whole argument of like, we don't know, and that is my argument. We don't know everything, but we definitely don't know yeah. what the fuck's going on in the mountains of Afghanistan.
Well, that's the excuse we still both of us will still allow for a Sasquatch to exist. It's like, mm-hmm. there's no way we can explore that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing, like, that's how Osama bin Laden lived in a cave for fucking ever,
mm-hmm.
and we couldn't, the military couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Imagine putting the military to find Sasquatch. You know, the same yeah. type of thing. Like, okay, yeah, you're just out in the middle of nowhere looking for a guy who just perpetrated one of the, you know, greatest crimes on American soil.
Yeah.
And you're searching everywhere you can look, and you stumble into that. I'm not going to believe that it's a godlike, especially if it came from God. But then it just had a spear and we shot it to death.
What do you mean it came from God? Okay.
It's supposed to be yeah. a biblical creature.
Well, I'm not standing on that as a...
Yeah.
But,
like, it's not mythical.
Uh-huh.
I would go, that's where I'm thinking.
Hmm.
Or it's some reversed fucking country inbreeding shit.
Hmm.
You know? You got enough people in a small village just cousin fucking, which happens all over the place, that... Girl with the eight arms in India that got born.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Years ago?
Eight arms?
Two arms? No, four arms, four legs.
Wow.
And some people were like, oh, what's that? And other people were like, oh, that's because it resembled one of their gods.
Do they have any redheaded people in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, that's a, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the thing you're picking out?
Mm-hmm.
Red hair. Unlikely.
Yeah.
Never mind 12 feet tall.
Fair-skinned ginger in Afghanistan?
Well, he might not be fair-skinned.
That's true.
There's red-haired Persian people, red-haired, you know.
Really? Red-headed Persian people?
Yeah, red hair.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's around. That's the least...
Well,
that part, yeah.
The animated... animated version of this story that I saw online. He looks like a big Scottish guy.
Yeah, that's the anime. And yeah, always if you want somebody to believe your ridiculous story, make a cartoon of it. Because mm-hmm. that's what they do. That's David. Like that's how I'm going to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a genetic mutation or anomaly that lived out there. Some freak show.
Well, there's evidence of giants throughout history. We have fossils and of like just. Giant, you know, just giant people, giant tribes. So why not? Why is this so far-fetched?
Because why is there just one, and why is it a secret? Yeah.
Well, I mean, who's to say there's only one? That's just the one that they encountered.
Why is it a secret?
A secret from...
And why they fly back to Ohio?
Well, why does anything the government do a secret?
All the places that are where we hold our secrets, Ohio's not one.
Well, what's that? There's that Air Force base in Ohio that there's UFOs and stuff that have been filtered through there. Was it McNellis or near Dayton?
Wright-Patterson.
All right. I don't know that that's where they took this one, but
I mean, I guess you only got so many bases.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I went from being full on bullshit because you said like I'm going to talk about this, and I started to look it up. And I was like, ugh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked myself into it. I'm going to give this one a maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I should start with a rating system of the stuff that we talk about.
Well, it's a fascinating story. And, you know, who knows if this Marzulli is legit, and who knows if the guy's everybody's sitting there interviewing a dude with, who's pixelated, who's like okay, telling the story.
Anybody,
I know anybody could say that.
College AV department can do that.
Yeah, I know. Not it's not the pixelization that I'm impressed by, but just anytime you hear somebody's account firsthand, to me, it adds a little more credibility. I mean, of course, this guy could just totally fabricate this and totally bullshit it, but...
I just went to L.A. Marzulli's website.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand how much web design can just lead to credibility.
Yeah.
When your picture is right away you with one of the headset mics... Like at the header, like this is the best representation of who I am. I talk at you with a headset mic. This fucking dude.
Yeah.
First video is pixelated face. I think he just pixelates faces just like they do on The Bachelor. They'll like pixelate something just to make it more,
more mysterious.
More salacious.
Yeah.
Like it's always like, ooh, they'll pixelate a side boob where there's no side boob.
Man, speaking of that bullshit. I was forced to watch an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What the hell is wrong with people?
That's just trash.
I mean, come on. I get it if you're watching it ironically, like look at this train wreck, but to think that some people sit around and that's appointment television to watch these
appointment television, I never heard that.
Talentless idiots talk about their jewelry.
Yeah.
Good God.
I don't think I heard it explained some way with reality TV where it's a bunch of people watching it just going, who watches this?
Yeah.
And it's you. You're watching it. Nobody's watching it going, this is good. This is important. Everybody watches it for the freak show aspect.
No, I guarantee you there's a certain percentage of people who watch that the same way I might tune into Fargo or something. Like, ooh, it's Tuesday night. Clear the calendar.
But I think there's an awareness of, like, I'm watching. Like, I would start watching Bachelor. Like, Rachel and I would watch it only because, like, I got it because, like, her and her friends, they'd watch it like sports. They know they're not taking it
seriously. Yeah.
And the producers, they're just put on a freak show. What I went down a wormhole is because I was trying to see who was actually eating these Tide Pods.
Yeah, what's that about?
Video. I bet like three people did it on YouTube, and now it's an epidemic for the news to talk about because it's a distraction from this Trump bullshit.
Yeah.
On a side note, too, the Fire and Fury book?
Mm-hmm.
Love her, but like people are just sending it out for free. Like just bootleg copy. Like, it needs to be read. It's like, what are you going to do? Convince me Trump's shitty?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Don't need to read a book. The last thing I need to do is sit down and take my free time and read about how Trump's a shitbag.
Yeah.
I fucking got it. I got that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I started like YouTube people, vloggers. Because I was like, ooh, let me see who's eating these Tide Pods. I want to see a dipshit eat a Tide Pod. And instead it was just every teenager holding a camera to their face, going, who's doing this? You gotta stop doing that. Like the vlogging world, I know it was like a big thing with the fucking guy that went to the suicide forest, Logan Paul.
I've heard that name. He's
a YouTuber.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the suicide forest in Japan and found a body and just did a vlog about it. Oh, shit, dog. Oh, damn. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But he just had like a YouTube star's reaction, and
YouTube star.
But then I just stumbled on it. I just go to YouTube to like learn how to wheelie on my mountain bike and how to fix my RC cars. But I went down this thing and just that's it. Like
who cares?
People addressing. You know what? Because we're old. 12-year-olds don't watch TV. They watch YouTube. They watch somebody that's 17 unbox a Nintendo Switch. That's their TV.
Wow.
The same way I bet our parents watched us watching some bullshit on MTV.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So like, all right, I don't understand it. Of course I don't. I'm 41.
Mm.
But, man, the accessibility is a little scary that's like every kid is like, I'm going to share everything I do with the world.
Yeah.
And then they get feedback from that, and they you know, kids get bullied. That's a whole weird world out there. Ugh.
No thanks.
I don't know how I got on that.
That's okay.
Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
What's the weirdest non-food item you've ever eaten?
Weirdest non-food item?
Yeah.
Play-Doh? You eat that shit all the time.
Yeah, it's old time. I used to eat bugs.
Yeah.
I guess when I was a little kid, my mom was like, yeah, you put ants in your mouth and they tickle. And then when they died, you just swallowed them.
Huh.
You know, think about jumping in there and maybe stopping me. Ants. Everybody's got to have a little dirt in their life. Which I do stand by.
I used to stick pebbles up my nose.
Yeah. I mean, if you had a hole when you were a little kid, things are going in it.
Yeah, stick it in there.
It's like another pocket. You don't know. That's what you do with it.
Oh, God. So maybe on this this gigantic ginger bastard.
Maybe not to this specific story, like the way this story's told, but to my parameters. Hmm. All right.
All right, then. What else going on?
I don't know. That's it, man.
Yeah?
You got anything you want to tell people about?
Oh, man. We don't do this often, but
want a kiss or something?
Want to share. Come here. Be still, Kyle. I want to share a band that I'm into right
now. Okay,
we
have a band of the week.
By the way, I brought back Gravy Boat for a Christmas special.
Oh, yeah?
No need to really listen to it now because I just now kind of realized it doesn't have a lot of shelf life when the whole theme was Christmas. But Christmas Eve Day, I released a random episode of Gravy Boat, and I played this band, who I'm now obsessed with, Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. Mm-hmm. Just good modern day throwback classic country out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Album called Sidelong. Every song on the album just perfect old school country music. None of this bro country modern bullshit, but also not like this intentionally retro. Just good bar band country music. Yeah.
Honky tonkin'.
Just goddamn, every song is great. Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. So if you're into the alt country, any Gravy Boat fans, all seven of you, check out Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. Very good stuff. Yeah. Some twang, some honky tonk. Good times.
Yeah. You got any recipes or anything?
No recipes today. I'll be honest with you, my heart's just not in it right now.
You're outside of the world now.
Yeah.
Boy, you're gonna do diet recipes, or are you gonna? Is this?
Well, it's not even
is
that.
This responsibility falling on me, because I can tell you what I've made. I sautéed some onions, and then dumped soy riso in it, and I overcooked that.
Hmm.
And then I let that get cold on a plate while I tried to make over medium eggs, which just made a real hard eggs.
Yeah, it's over hard.
Well, no, the yolks were runny.
Okay.
But the bottoms,
okay,
the eggs were hard.
Huh.
So you die, so.
You're just going to have some onions, chorizo, and eggs.
Soy riso.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, some rubbery eggs.
Hmm.
I made it. I was proud of myself, though.
Yeah.
It tasted all right. I mean, it didn't taste bad. Texture-wise, a little bit.
Hmm.
You had to work around some parts.
Yeah, no, it's not the new diet. It's the, I had all these, you know, football-type recipes in my head, and now I just don't care.
But what about the people that are still going to celebrate?
Yeah, well,
you don't want to wish them well? You want to be a good sport?
Go to Popeyes and get the $5 meal.
Dave.
I'll have some next week. I'll have some before the Super Bowl, put it that
way.
When
is the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl is 2.5 weeks from now.
So is that it? Like the teams are set?
No. This coming weekend, we have both conference championship games. We have Philadelphia Eagles playing the Minnesota Vikings, and then we also have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's kind of an underdog, playing the Evil Empire New England Patriots.
Yeah, no,
so the winners of both those games will face each other in the Super Bowl, and I'm going ahead and call it. I'm calling Vikings beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm calling it right now. Minnesota Vikings beat the New England Patriots. I would like to see Jacksonville beat New England. I'd love to see Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. Don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm calling it right now, 2.5-3 weeks ahead of time. Vikings beat the Patriots for the Super Bowl.
Let's
see if I'm right. the Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Who won the year before that?
Year before that, it was maybe Seattle. I don't know. But, yeah, 28-3 in the third quarter. Falcons over
well,
the.
I remember, no, I yeah. saw that. I told you. Showed up to your yeah. party after they lost. That was you were doing everything.
Fucking
short of crying over some wings.
Fucking
man.
Hate football.
All right. Well, you got anything? You gonna do anything this weekend?
I don't have any shows of note to plug.
Fucking me neither. Yeah. All right. Get out of here.
The Boogie Monster.